Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Veil, a podcast on psychic protection, spiritual hygiene, and navigating the ebbs and flows of the healing journey as you learn to understand and master both your sovereign and shadow selves. My name is Lauren on Earth, your host, and welcome back to another episode. This was sparked by a conversation that we were having in the Black Magic Removal series group chat. And I just thought that this question is coming up there. A lot of people might also be feeling the same way. So I'm going to get into what that is exactly in a moment, but also just wanted to give a quick update on Texas Eclipse Festival and my experience with the eclipse. And if you caught the last episode, I was just talking about how I was currently there as it was coming out and said that I would have some updates after. I was there for grid work. There was something that I was doing with the land. I'm not ready to talk about it just yet because I'm still in the process. It wasn't this quick one and done thing. And you never know who's listening, so I'm going to protect it for now, and when I get the green light, I absolutely will share it. But the first 2 days of Texas Eclipse were mainly focused on the grid work, and it was very challenging. I was exhausted. I was feeling so heavy, and I slept 10 hours. Two nights of this festival with a stage so close to our campsite, bumping side trance till 8 a.m., no sleeping pills, nothing. Like, I was tired. And I didn't know what I was doing the first 2 days. It wasn't until I got the message, okay, what you needed to do is complete. You're on the up. And I realized that I was down somewhere in the underworld. I mean, I kind of already knew that and felt that, but I didn't know what was happening. I just had to keep focused and doing what was asked of me in the present moment. And then it became clear and everything then started to follow that, yeah, I just can't share yet for reasons that I'm sure you guys understand. But on top of that, I was also clearing for, I don't even know how many people. It was supposed to be 40,000 people, and I just feel like there were probably close to 70,000 people there. They oversold this festival by way too many people, so much so to the point where they shut it down a day early. And I'll get to that in a minute, but I was clearing for a lot of people. I was doing something with the grid, and I was working through my own blocks as well. So that is kind of what I'm going to talk about today, because festivals are absolutely, from my experience, spiritual experiences and really similar to ayahuasca retreats, because what I'm moving through and what I'm working through is really similar to the amount of energy that I release during an ayahuasca retreat. And yes, it's fun and I'm with my friends and there are absolutely moments of bliss, which I really need, right? So yeah, it's both. There's a lot going on and it's not always easy for me because one, I'm in a new environment. I'm around a lot of people, especially a lot of vaccinated people. I feel like for the most part, people are really conscious and really open and just really beautiful. Like, I did not have one negative experience, one bad interaction. I mean, aside from the tipper crowd, which fine, but every single person I met was so nice, so bubbly, just in a really good mood. And when you bring all of those people together that are generally in that space, it can be a really beautiful and really exciting experience and a really healing experience, just like I mentioned in the last podcast episode. So I was moving through a massive resistance block myself to the point where I couldn't feel love. I felt a little bit of it and I felt it wanting to come through, but I was meeting this part of myself that was not allowing it and that was resisting it and that was trying to stop it from coming into my vessel, into my heart space. And I know that it was a form of protection because I have suffered. I have been through a lot. As you know, I've been talking about what has come out with this group. And sometimes these blocks that we experience aren't just from dark forces, or it's not just a form of technology that they use to suppress, but it comes from within. Like, we created this block in order to try to protect ourselves. And there was a part of me still, and this is not the first time that I've worked through something like this, that was really hesitant to let the light in. And we were successful. I feel really good. I feel like a huge weight lifted, and absolutely the light came in and the activations came in. And it was just, despite there being some problems with this festival, it was more than I could have hoped and imagined it to be, simply based off what I was able to work through and let go of and release, in addition to having fun because the sets were incredible. So the artists that were chosen for this festival, especially being over the eclipse, which, by the way, I know we're past the eclipse at this point. It was 10 days ago as I'm recording this. And I was seeing a lot of spiritual influencers and a lot of people say, don't look at it, don't go outside, it's fake, all of these crazy things that I was seeing. But the message that I was getting myself was, look at it, obviously with the glasses, but be present with it for the entire time. It was over an hour that this was taking place, even though it was only 4 or so minutes of totality, and that there would be an activation coming through. And there absolutely was, 100%. It was the most pure codes that I have ever felt, probably ever, that were coming through this portal. And if people didn't want to experience it or felt that they should listen to someone else outside of their own intuition, then, you know, maybe they weren't able to receive or they weren't meant to at that time. But I think it also just goes to show that no one knows you better than yourself. And I think we need to not take everything that people are saying online as truth, because we all were meant to experience this eclipse differently. For me, I needed to be present with it, to be looking at it, and I was told that I would receive an upgrade. And yeah, that's exactly what happened. So the whole weekend leading up to it, yes, I was doing that grid work, but I was also anchoring in code that was coming through the DJs and the musicians, as well as my own channel. And I was receiving upgrades the entire weekend. And I felt like the artists that were on this lineup are also lightworkers, and I just call them absolute wizards, because what they're doing with the sound and the frequency is magic, and it's wizardry, absolutely. Subtronics, who I'm sure a lot of people are like, what? He's dark and it's, I can't listen to that, and that's okay. But what was coming through his set was healing my brain. and it was codes that were restoring function to parts of my brain that have been harmed by the distorted energy that was present there. And the same with Tipper and Of the Trees and even Zed's Dead and others. There were others as well, but I'm just kind of talking about some of the bigger, more mainstream artists that were at this festival because they know how to, they know what they're doing in ways that some other DJs are still learning to figure it out. And it was just so healing. And I was working with them as well as with my guides and through my own channel to bring these codes for other people and the land and what I was doing with the grid. So throughout the whole festival, this was happening and I felt like we were laying the foundation for what was to come on the actual day of the eclipse, which was Monday. And the lineup for that day, I kept saying in my head, is just too good to be true. It's like a huge reason of why I said yes to this. I mean, there are a lot of reasons, but it was the eclipse and then just this lineup of lightworker wizards on the decks and just this massive activation that I felt was going to take place. And we woke up on Monday morning to them canceling the entire festival because of storms and hail and all of these things that they were saying was coming. But on all of our weather apps, we weren't seeing any of that. And I even went up to one of the security and I was like talking to him about everything. And he even admitted, he was like, I don't see the weather they're talking about. You know, they're going to try to keep it a secret, hush, hush, until it comes out on Reddit. And so, yeah, I knew immediately it was not about the weather. There was a deeper reason as to why this festival was canceled. There were way too many people there, way too many, not enough bathrooms, not enough water. And I know that, I mean, they made so much money on this festival. They were charging a sickening amount for showers, for ice, for food. And I just felt the greed from the person that put on this festival. And his name is Disco Donnie. Probably won't be attending anything of his ever again. And in my head, I'm just like, provide the basic necessities so people can have a good time and enjoy themselves and say good things about you and your festival. Like, is having your name smeared like this, is that worth the extra couple $10,000 so dollars in your pocket? Obviously for him, it clearly was. And that just also goes to show the intention behind all of this isn't about providing a beautiful experience for people. It's about greed and money. And I also see that with some other people that put on festivals as well. I mean, unfortunately, the music industry, there's so much distortion and we see this a lot. We also see this in the spiritual community. If you're in the group chat talking about people that are charging $30,000 to work with them, which is the most absurd thing that I have ever heard. So it's just really easy now to spot the greed and the people that have good intention versus the people that don't. But I think the activation that was coming and the just the experience of what we were going to have together and do together wasn't, they didn't want to happen. I felt upset, obviously. But I also just had to let it go because what else am I going to do? And just hoped that the work that I had done up until that point was enough. And so we stayed and we watched the eclipse and it was a life-changing experience. And I really feel like a different person after the whole weekend. So getting into the episode, like I said, this was sparked by a conversation in the mentorship. And we were just talking about how one of my clients was really struggling because she's in a lot of pain and doesn't feel like she's getting the support that she needs from her etheric team. And my response was, yeah, I just felt like maybe other people need to hear this too. So we, as I say all the time, are blocked, just like my experience at Texas Eclipse, where I was feeling all this resistance and this massive block that was not letting me feel and experience light and receive the abundance and the love. Of course, I still am, but there was a part of me that wasn't able to because of this. And that is just a common theme for all of us. I just recorded a YouTube video explaining this a little bit deeper, and I'll link it in the show notes. And maybe this will be a nice way to complement what I'm sharing here. But when our bodies and our minds are working optimally in the way that they were originally designed, we should be able to feel and hear and connect with all that is. And when we cannot do that, it is because there is something in the way, whether it's a block or a stuck emotion or suppression, dark forces, our own stuff, whatever it is, that's the reason for most of our pain, our challenges, our traumas. It's stuck energy, or energy that is harming, that we don't realize is harming, that is in our system in some way, shape, or form. So sometimes the channel is blocked and there is a veil that is not allowing you to be able to hear the voice of your intuition or your spirit team. Because we really can't do this work, like this deep work, without that support. So, of course, they want to block that. And sometimes, at the same time, there's a different reason why your guides, you're not able to hear them. But I'm just going to stick with the block for now, where we're veiled, right? And there's veil after veil after veil. And some of them are placed by external forces, by our systems, our society, those in charge, and those that we have allowed to be in charge. And some of the veils are our own. Like even for me, I'm really tired of seeing so much darkness and distortion by this group that I realized at one point a while back, I was the reason for the block in my third eye because I just didn't want to see it anymore. So sometimes it's us, sometimes it's not, and it's important to differentiate that. But if there is a veil and you're trying to communicate with your guides and you're not hearing them, they're trying to get you to see, hey, there's something there. There's something in the way where it's time for this to come down. So we need you to make the effort to take the action to identify what that is. If you were to just hear them and everything was good, you wouldn't be getting too far because you're not able to identify the block. So it's almost like they're on the other side of it trying to get you to think critically and navigate that, identify the block, and there they are. Like they're never not there. They're always there. So sometimes it is a block or an implant or something that has been placed by dark forces to try to stop you. And the guides are trying to get you to identify that and see that by moving through it. And if they were to just be there all the time, then you might not get as far as you would. Does this make sense? So sometimes the reason for it is because you don't need to get that confirmation from them at the moment. And you need to bring the attention back to yourself. So as we go through these levels of mastery and these initiations that we move through where we're applying this knowledge, if our guides were to tell us everything all the time, we're not going to master anything. It's too easy. In the beginning, back in 2016 to 2018, I got a lot of answers every time I asked questions, including when my next partner was coming in. I needed that at the time to build the trust and to feel safe and to practice having that experience with them. But now, is it really serving me to be told exactly when something is going to happen and exactly what it is I'm going through? No, because the whole point of all of this as well is that we don't need to know the future. And sometimes we are going to be in the dark, or we are going to be in this void, or we have to be okay in the here and now and in the unknown and trusting and having that faith that everything is going to work out and not being in the future or in the past, but just simply being in the present. So it's another veil that comes over you, because you need to be your own guide and you need to listen to your own inner compass. And you were prepared by them for this moment to navigate the void, the underworld, the shadow, this experience on your own. And that might be a reason why sometimes you kind of feel them disappear, quote unquote, or you're not getting the messages that you want. If we have too much of an attachment to them, they're going to pull away a little bit, because the attachment is also one of those major life lessons that we're learning to work through, the non-attachment, right? Just like unconditional love. This is a lifelong, multiple lifelong journey. And if we get too attached to our team and too attached to these messages, that's not a good thing either. And sometimes we have to go through this period where we have to detach a little bit and come back to ourselves, because the answers are still always there. They're just in you, not in another. So I think I've told this story before. One of my ayahuasca ceremonies, the second or third hardest one I've ever gone through, and I didn't feel my guides at all. That whole ceremony, I'm just like, and I've had moments, and I've said this to the same client that sparked this conversation, where I'm like, I've screamed and cried over this before, of feeling so alone and lost and not knowing what's going on and having this little meltdown on where are they. And it even happened in Scotland this year, where I went through the horrible experience on 8/8. I went through a gnarly attack by them. Then I got my immunity. Then I go to Glastonbury and do all of this clearing day in and day out. And then I go to Scotland thinking that I'm going to have a little bit of a break. And it wound up being kind of a difficult trip. I got into an accident, and it was just hard. And on top of that, I was preparing to go back to Shasta, back to the place where the traumatic incident occurred, to provide this experience, this retreat for people. And I knew I could do it. I knew that I was going to be able to protect them all and separate them. But I just had this moment of it was too much all at once, and I couldn't feel Mary. I couldn't feel anyone. And I had a breakdown in public. In public as in the Highlands, but still in public. There were people, not like in a city or anything. And Mary looked at me and was like, "You need to get it together, or you're not going to pass this initiation. You need to get it together and stop having like this mental breakdown that you're having." And I just will never forget that, because I obviously needed that in the moment, but sometimes this these initiations are really, 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 really hard. And I recognize that, and I recognize that with all of my clients, and it makes us stronger, and that's how we evolve as souls. And when we look at Mary and Jesus, who, you know, if you've read the Anna books and they talk about these initiations that they've gone through, that's kind of what it is. I mean, obviously it's different for everyone, but it's where they have to take what they have learned, this wisdom, this work that they've done on themselves, and traverse through these very difficult and challenging energies, staying connected to their truth and their trust and to God, and to move through it with grace. And sometimes it's not graceful, and I've been there, and that's okay. It's why it's a cycle, right? And we keep moving through it. And that's what I mean by mastery. And that is how we evolve. So if they were to hold your hand always, how much are you really evolving? Because you're still putting everything into something. Obviously, we are all one, but for this perspective, something outside of you. And so they distance themselves a little bit. And it's not even distance, because it's just a veil. You just can't see them, but they're still there. And they're not never going to let anything happen to you. But it's for your own good. That's another reason. And the last one, I've kind of talked about this a little bit in, I think it was episode 2, just talking about the foundation of psychic development. But sometimes we miss entirely the way spirit is communicating with us, and or we are receiving a message. It's just not the message that we want. And then we say we're not receiving messages at all. For example, let's go back to talking about the void, right? Sometimes we find ourselves in a void and things slow down and they're not moving. Maybe it has to do with your business and clients aren't coming in and things aren't happening, and you feel yourself in this void. And the void is a necessary part of the journey. You are in an incubation phase. You are preparing for the movement, for the expansion, for all of the things to come in. But it's where all possibilities exist and where all of creation is born, the void. And a lot of people find it to be really uncomfortable. And I understand why, because there's this fear that gets triggered of, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have what I need. The money isn't flowing and things aren't happening for me. And it's like, they absolutely will. But you also are here right now in the void, and you need to experience that and learn to be at ease in it. And if you're finding yourself with all of this anxiety and worry in the void, then you're going to be met with the void a lot more times until you can ease into it and be at peace and accept where you are, and also to learn from it, because there's so much to learn and so much to gain from being in that space of stillness and pause. So sometimes you're in a void and you're getting the message, you're in the void and there's nothing that you need to be doing, and you're still getting a message, but you feel that you should be receiving other messages, or there's something else that needs to come through, whatever it is, get the idea of what I'm trying to say. So sometimes the message maybe isn't what we want to hear, or it's not providing a solution or next steps necessarily, or giving us the answer that we want, but it's still a message. Other times, and I've noticed this myself, there's a channeler that I used to follow back in the day, and she would hear. It was mostly clairaudience. So she would ask a question and then pause and hear the voice of spirit and then repeat verbatim what she just heard. And I was thinking, well, I don't channel like that. I channel differently and I communicate differently. And it doesn't mean that that is any better or not. It doesn't mean that she's hearing spirit and I'm not, because mine is coming through a feeling or a knowing versus a hearing. I think we all have the ability to use all of our clairs. Obviously, some are stronger than others, especially in the beginning. But I think some of us sometimes miss the messages completely because we think it needs to look a certain way or it needs to come through a certain way, when in reality, spirit is still communicating with us. It just looks different than what we're expecting. So we need to learn to let go of expectations and clear all the gunk and the junk that's in our way from being able to hear clearly. So I hope this helped in maybe answering some questions or confusion. You know, I really feel that our guides are such an important part of our journey, but what we feel and what your soul is telling you is the most important thing. And I can't tell you how many blocks of fear, of confusion, of resistance, of chaos that I've moved through that has interfered with the trust within myself. And I noticed, and this was back in July, I was at another festival. It was just the one, the Global Dance Fest in Denver, not really a big thing, just a one-day thing. And I remember I would receive crystal clear information. And I would be like, oh my gosh, like that came through so clear. And then I'd lose it completely. Like it would be gone. And I'd be like, and there would be confusion. And at the time I was doing some ketamine treatments, not in the moment, but leading up to that, where I was clearing some things in the mental plane that were... story for another day, but basically what I, from those treatments and what I was experiencing in the moment, I was putting together that these dark forces use that confusion to get us to our mind to go somewhere else or to forget the messages that come through or to just block it all together. So it was like all of these layers of confusion that I was clearing that were in the mental, that were in the mind, where, yeah, it was affecting my ability to communicate. Because in a perfect world, when everything is working as it should, our thoughts are messages from the higher self to help us make sense of our reality. The problem is, there's been viruses, there's been all this distortion, negative thoughts, negative ego, all of these things that have kept us from really being able to hear that voice clearly. And the way to really develop and strengthen the intuition isn't just through practice, but through getting to the root of this and doing the clearing work and doing the psychic surgery work. For those of you who have noticed a difference in me and can see this example of what I looked like when there was all this distortion and what I look like now as well, I would say most of it was the psychic surgery work that I was doing on myself. And a bit of it was activation, of course. But the shadow work, the learning how to move energy in this way is absolutely key to all of it, to the liberation. There's no other way around it. There's just not. And obviously there are other things that we can be doing. You know, this is just the fast track, right? When we get right into the root of the energetics. And not everyone is going to be up for it in this lifetime. It's not for the faint of heart. The deeper I go, the more I realize like why people tap out. And I don't blame them for that. But there are definitely some warriors out there who are seeing this through and who are really dedicated to it. And I just hope that I can continue to be an ally and a support and a guide, especially, you know, having a little bit more experience through this process, that I can continue to shed light on things that I found that are there that I was once previously veiled from as well, and share that with all of you. So I'm kind of thinking that the next, if not the next, the one after that, because I also really want to talk about dragons, will be a Q&A of any questions that you guys have, whatever it is, with everything we've talked about so far, especially everything that has happened this year, and kind of just jump around a little bit. So if you are interested in asking a question, I will be collecting those through the Beyond the Veil group chat. So if you're not already part of that community and you want to hear what we're talking about outside of the podcast, also if you have any questions or, you know, want to meet other like-minded, beautiful humans who are also on this path, the link is in the show notes, and pop your question in the group chat and I'll be happy to answer it in either the next episode or the one after that. All right. Love you all. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you all have a beautiful rest of your day or night, wherever in the world you are. In the meantime, you can find me on laurenonearth.com for any bookings, or there's also so much information on my website on what it is I do and the information behind the energy work, as well as the Akashic Records, and then Lauren on Earth on Instagram and TikTok. See you next time. Bye.